Welcome to Lugano Speakers Starting Online Church on the 19th Sunday after Pentecost, 11th of October 2020. I am Irun Kim, the minister of LPUC. Later in the service, Robbie is going to read the Bible, Melee to lead prayers for others. This week's Bible reading, Exodus 32, centers around the conflict between fear and bold faith to walk with God despite the obstacles the world throws at us. It contains what is likely one of the most confusing and dramatic stories in the Hebrew scriptures. Before moving on, let us watch a short summary of the Exodus found at so-called Max 7, the website that provides a variety of Bible resources. Let us watch the video. Today's call to worship is a responsive one. Your response is in bold. Look around at this wondrous world. God's mighty acts in creation are magnificent. Look around at the diversity of God's people. Diversity is to be celebrated, for we have much to learn from each other. Come, let us offer praise and prayer to God. Let us celebrate all God's goodness, for even in the midst of the horrible storm, God is with us. Amen. Would you bow with me in prayer? Lord of diversity and union, we call upon you this day to open our hearts to your love, our ears to your words, our eyes to see the needs of those both near and far, and our spirits to do your will. Be with us and give us courage and inspiration for the future of your word. Amen. Let us worship God by singing the first song, Christ is Enough, if you worship alone in your place, or listening to if you worship with others.
Today's Bible reading comes from Exodus 32, verses 1 to 14. When the people saw that Moses was so long in coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said, "Come, make us gods who will go before us. As for this fellow Moses, who brought us up out of Egypt, we do not know what has happened to him." Aaron answered them, "Take off the gold earrings that your wives, your sons, and all your daughters are wearing, and bring them to me." So all the people took off their earrings and brought them to Aaron. He took what they handed him and made it into an idol cast in the shape of a calf, fashioning it with a tool. Then they said, "These are your gods, Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt." When Aaron saw this, he built an altar in front of the calf and announced, "Tomorrow there will be a festival to the Lord." So the next day, the people rose early and sacrificed burnt offerings and presented fellowship offerings. Afterward, they sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in revelry. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go down, because your people, whom you brought up out of Egypt, have become corrupt. They have been quick to turn away from what I commanded them, and have made themselves an idol cast in the shape of a calf. They have bowed down to it and sacrificed to it, and have said, 'These are your gods, Israel, who brought you out of Egypt.' I have seen these people," the Lord said to Moses, "and they are stiff-necked people. Now leave me alone, so that my anger may burn against them, and that I may destroy them. Then I will make you into a great nation." But Moses sought the favor of the Lord his God. "Lord," he said, "why should your anger burn against your people, whom you brought out of Egypt with great power and a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say, 'It was with evil intent that he brought them out, to kill them in the mountains and to wipe them off the face of the earth'? Turn your fierce anger. Relent and do not bring disaster on your people. Remember your servants Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, to whom you swore by your own self, 'I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and I will give your descendants all this land I promised them, and it will be their inheritance forever.' Then the Lord relented and did not bring on his people the disaster he had threatened."
Exodus 32 continues the story of a people who, having left the oppression of Egypt, had forgotten their cries to God for freedom, and instead complained to God about the mess they are in. They have complained about food and water, and now when Moses is delayed returning from the mountain, they go to Aaron and demand Aaron to make idols for them to worship. It seems that the people have forgotten that God is always with them, even if they no longer see the pillar of fire or the cloud that traveled with them as assurance of God's presence. They want something tangible, something they can hold and see, a golden calf to be right in front of them. Today I brought a few items and few symbols. I brought money and jewelry and credit cards and newspaper, car key, mobile phone and iPad. And also I brought a cross wrapped with a golden paper. It doesn't look very gold, but this is a golden paper. I was wondering which one of these symbols you felt plays a great importance in your life at the moment. Is there something else? We may turn to earthly treasures and worldly success, and still demand that God not let us fall or fail. The truth is that we are allowed to fall and we are allowed to fail. It is a part of the gift of will. I would say gift of free will in this world. We make our own choices and sometimes we live with those consequences. Today I would encourage you to reflect quietly or talk with someone else on these questions. In today's story, what are the examples of what people admired or trusted most? The people of Israel wanted something tangible, something they can hold and see, so Aaron made idols or golden calf for them. What are idols people may have today? Can you think of golden calf moment? A moment in which people thought they did the right thing but didn't in today's world. What is about these things that make them appealing? I would encourage you to ponder these questions. Let us pray. Dear Holy Heavenly Father, we often get distracted and our focus shifts from you to material things and want. We are sorry for these times and attitude. Forgive us, Lord, and help us stay focused on your loving power that cannot be broken, stolen, or replaced. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jesus Christ, the Son, and now. In our scripture story for today, the Israelites are in that wilderness, on that journey from Egypt to an unknown place of promise. They are facing a lot of unknowns. They are also a bit unsure they wanted to get there. They don't know where they are going. In fact, Moses had become the central figure of stability for the Israelites. After all, he had been the leader of God's people even before they were set free from Egyptian bondage. They had grown to lean heavily on him. His presence among them became absolutely essential. As long as he was nearby, they felt safe. If they couldn't see him, especially for a long period of time, they apparently began to get nervous. That's when they started to jump to conclusions. According to Exodus, Moses left the people to go up the mountain for an extended meeting with God. He didn't come down from the mountain soon enough, so they started to wonder if he would return at all. They could see the fire on the mountain where he was meeting with God, but they couldn't see him. In fact, they hadn't seen him for a long time. Anxiously, they began to think that he wouldn't even return to them. They probably feel they have been deceived, misled. Maybe they are feeling a little bit foolish. Like all of us, the Israelites craved a relationship with God. They showed their eagerness to devote themselves to God by signing on immediately to worship Him alone and to live according to His ways. Once Moses presented the Ten Commandments to them, they immediately agreed to live by them. They seemed to be enthusiastic about following the one true God, their deliverer. Just as quickly, they appeared to be eager to ditch God once His messenger disappeared without a trace and to replace Him with another deity. And like all of us, the Israelites confused silence with absence. They hadn't heard from God or Moses, His messenger, in a while. Consequently, they figured that God must have left the mountain and Moses must have died there, leaving His people waiting anxiously in the middle of an unforgiving desert. In their anxiety, they wondered who would take them on from there. How do you react when God seems to give you the silent treatment? Do you assume that He's absent? If so, what do you do about it? Think about it. What if your husband or wife or child or best friend leaves and goes on a business trip for a couple of months? And for the entire time, you have no contact. You don't hear from him or her, no I love yous, no I miss yous, no I'll be home next week. Pretty soon, the time gets close to passing when surely he or she should have returned. And you are sure he or she has come to no good end. Look, either you are on your way to file a missing persons report, or you suspect he or she has started a new life with some other secret family. Or you come to terms with his or her absence and begin to take steps in a new direction. You begin grieving the loss and fearing the worst. In the movie Cast Away, Tom Hanks plays a FedEx employee stranded on an uninhabited island after his plane crashes in the South Pacific. And the film describes his desperate attempts to survive and return home. He's holding on to his past for dear life because he's feeling lost and alone. Actually, in the movie, there's an interesting character, Wilson. Wilson is one of the most popular in animated objects of film history. Meanwhile, his wife has decided he's not coming back and has gone and married someone else. She never believed he could be alive after all that time. we are extremely uncomfortable with the silence and mystery, and what we do not have in front of us at any given time. For us to bond and trust, we crave and need to see and touch something we perceive as real to us. The problem with that is that God resides in the realms of the invisible and the spaces of existence. In the case of the Israelites, their shepherd had gone. So in their insecurity, they called on their priest Aaron to make them a security blanket, what we call a golden calf. Maybe the golden calf is a reminder of the gods they worshipped back in Egypt. Certainly the sign of the calf was the object of pagan worship in many places. But the scripture doesn't actually say that. It says they wanted something to replace the god and the shepherd they went missing. They wanted something to unite around, something they could see and touch to lessen their fears and keep them on track to comfort their anxiety and help them trust that they were out there in the midst of the wilderness for a purpose. The golden calf is what they got. Here was something real and tangible. Here was something they could give to people who needed somehow to get in touch with something, feel in relationship with something. They needed to touch their God who led them out of Egypt and into this desolate place, who indeed still continued to lead them out of it and into a place of promise. They couldn't face thinking all was lost, and they will it. They needed to believe in something, and they needed to see it in front of them. Each one of us can identify. We all know that needy now feeling. We do want to have it, to see it, to feel it now. Then I can believe and I can trust it. The Hebrews needed a sign, so they created one themselves. It is not pure idolatry. They weren't having to disrespect God or deliberately go another way. They just wanted the sign to remind them of what they once sure they could believe in any longer. They needed something to get them through the dark. When Moses brought those tablets down the mountain, he was essentially offering up God's marriage contract. It was a relationship agreement between God and God's people. When Moses smashes those tablets, he's not just doing it in anger. He's acting out a breach of relationship that has already occurred. God's people didn't wait for him to return. They didn't trust in him to love them, even though they couldn't see him. They didn't trust that Moses would come back. They refused to take the risk to dwell in the space of discomfort that all of us need to dwell in when we enter into the mystery of love. Let's face it, love gives no guarantees. Love is a risk. Love is walking into the unknown, trusting in a relationship that you haven't yet completely built yet. God says in Exodus 32, in sadness, they turned aside from the way that I commanded them. God feels they have deserted the covenant. God feels alienated from them relationally. They have forgone trust and have created instead a substitute for God because they couldn't trust in God's love, which they deemed not enough with a golden idol. The way of God is trust, the kind of trust that means to commit in the dark, to keep trusting even when we or you cannot feel God there and doubt whether God is there. The scandal of the wilderness is that it is the wilderness of a soul apart from God. A soul that has learned to be satisfied with the materiality of the world. Instead of risking entry into the mystery of life, if we look for God only in the material world, we will never learn to trust in the God who is beyond and yet right here in our midst. And when we attach ourselves to things, we don't leave room for God. God is not a feel-good fix. Being a relationship with God may leave us sometimes longing for a security blanket, but growing into discipleship means growing into trust. During the Second World War, soldiers who had lived their deeds were comforted often by carrying a picture of their beloved at home with them into battle. Perhaps for us, that is the best example of the link between faith and love. Those soldiers couldn't know for sure that their honey would be there when they eventually got back. But as soon as they could see that picture, they knew they had something and someone to live for. Today, often it is the photograph that is taken into battle, but a tattoo engraved directly into the skin of the soldier, a covenantal marker that he bears with him into battle that reminds him that he's not alone, but a relational part of another human being who loves him even though far away. We as followers of Jesus and children of God bear the holy image of God upon us. All of us wear God's engraving of love and commitment upon our hearts and our minds. When you feel alone, when you feel afraid, when it feels long since we have felt God with us, all we really need to do is feel that image of God within us. Feel that engraving of Jesus' body and blood upon us at baptism and communion, and we know that He is near. It is not a knowing that can be seen or touched or felt like I feel this material, but it is something so much stronger and more beautiful. I would trust my life to that, wouldn't you? Amen. Let us sing, hum, or listen to the second song, Great is Thy Faithfulness.
Shadow of turning with thee, thou change. Hi, everyone. It's a time for our prayer for the people. Let us pray. It's our psalm today. We need to praise you, dear Lord. We need to give thanks to you, Lord, for your good and your love endures. Lord Jesus, we do declare, we do proclaim your mighty acts in our generations. Forgive us, Lord, we have sinned, even as our ancestors did. We have done wrong and acted wickedly. Forgive us, Lord, if we have forgotten you, you alone that saved us. Forgive us if we are stiff-necked people. We do understand that you are inviting many but chosen few to your kingdom. Forgive us if we have refused your invitation to partake and share with you on your table that full of love, full of grace, full of mercy, and full of happiness and joy. Thank you, Lord, for your care in the support of Lugano Bighest Uniting Church members, the Church Council, and the rest of the Church committees. Yes, Lord, we were on sickness, and you healed us. We were in trouble, and you rescued us. We were down, and you lifted us. When we are in need, you provided in full. We pray for Reverend Ilung Kim, Jun, Ben, and Kim. Always remember them, Lord Jesus, and show your favor on them. Enrich them with your power and your boldness to share and witness your living words of life. We pray for your presence amongst them. They are in Lugano because Uniting Church, because of your call, is available to compare. We pray for Rich Hannah, the chairperson of Joseph River Presbytery and the whole presbytery. Bless him with your wisdom, your knowledge, and your understanding. Give him your heart, Lord Jesus, that's full of love and grace, so that he can be able to fulfill his responsibilities to you and your call for your people. We pray for Australia as a whole. As you promised to us, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, to present our request to you, God. We thank you that you did answer our prayers by being with Australia during the hard time of COVID-19. It was not easy, but because you blessed us with the faith, there is nothing impossible to you, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, take control of the whole nation and keep us safe every day. Lord Jesus, here we are. Transform us inwardly. We need to realize that whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, to put into practice in the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Lord Jesus, make us to rejoice every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
As you have just watched the intro video, our Sunday service is held at 10:15 a.m. To attend the service, everyone needs to register with the bell via phones or email. And also everyone needs to follow COVID-19 safety action requirements at church. For those who don't come on Sunday mornings, the service will still be on YouTube and the church website, and the worship resource will be available as it used to be. We need to raise $4,500 in postage for 450 Operation Christmas Child shoeboxes that we are packing. If you are able to help with the postage, could you contact Annette or give donation by direct debit into the account below? And also please just remember, when you donate the money, just mark your donation as Christmas Child boxes. this is an end of today's online church. If you are willing to get connected with us or simply having any question or inquiry, please contact me via email or phone. This is blessing. You have received blessing upon blessing from the Lord. Now go into the world offering hope and peace to all people you meet. Be involved in justice and healing ministries in the name of the Lord. Go in peace. Amen. Thank you for your participation in today's online church, and also thank you for all those people who took part of this online service. Hope you have a very blessed day and blessed week. See you next week. I got no worries. Me.